Welcome to the Rob and Kale Show. Rob Sanders.
His own mother slapped the stork that delivered him.
And Kale Hall.
He doesn't deserve to be in this business. He deserves to have been blackballed.
The Rob and Kale Podcast.
And welcome into the Rob and Kale Podcast. I'm Rob Sanders. My podcast partner is in the upstate. He is the absolute number one Gamecock YouTuber on the planet. And he can scratch some damn lottery tickets. He is Kale Hall. Kale, what's up, brother?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Hope everyone's having a good Sunday. I had to work today, so that's always sucks. But here we are, and ready to get into it. Week six is in the books. Thank God.
Well, we, you know, it was a very eventful week six. We had what, two top five teams fall, three top 10 teams fall. So yeah, it was a pretty good week there. So
you had two top five teams playing each other. So obviously somebody had to lose that one, but
right. But, and you're right, Jackpot. That's silly of me, but we did have two. It's very seldom we have two top five teams fall in the same weekend. Like that this year, so. And BYU, one of the last undefeated teams, they fell.
I was shocked that Alabama lost that game. I mean, I had a feeling that somebody might get them this year, but I thought that it would be maybe an Arkansas. I could have saw, you know, a team with a decent offense. Earlier I thought maybe it might have been Ole Miss, but Texas A&M, ugh. I mean, where did that offense come from? I don't understand it. Everybody can do it.
I don't know, brother. They could have done something. We'll see.
Everybody can do it except for us. Randall, what's up, Randall?
By the way, this is the final play of the game over there for Texas A&M, as 105,000, Texas wish list folks lost their mind.
Is down. It is up. And the Fighting Texas Aggies take down the top-ranked Tide, 41-38. Number one goes down, and the celebration is on at Kyle Field.
Yeah, they were happy at Kyle Field, man. I mean, it was – you got to give them credit for picking up the win there, right, Jackpot?
You absolutely do. Uncle Lou in his Your Season is Over video talked about that the what is it he calls the Texas A&M, the Aggies, the kids that go there, the little kids, the space cadets who dress up in their little G.I. Joe uniforms and twirl wooden guns around.
All right. Well, I want to get to some phone calls in a moment, but let's thank our sponsors, Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia. They sponsor the Callaway's Pick'em Challenge. By the way, if you are in that, man, the leaderboard for that, it's getting tight up top there, Jackpot. Lots of folks made some moves, man. Shout out to Beth. Beth out in Beth lives in North Augusta or Aiken, but she's got like the whole Twisted family. Like one of them is a Clemson fan, and I think she graduated from Georgia. And so she's got the whole thing going there. But she had like 7 out of 10 this week. That's really solid. We have one person. Go ahead.
Did you notice old Lee Dial hit 10 out of 10 again? Second time he's done that, but in between, he's been doo-doo.
Lee got 10 out of 10? I don't think he did he?
Maybe that was week one I was looking at then.
Yeah, you were looking at week one. Week six, the best score in week six. I'm showing everybody the standings
week,
there now.
Week one is over to the far left. Okay.
Yeah, so Chris Peterson leads the way right now with 40 out of 65, knocking Ken Bellinger out of first place. So congratulations to him. Beth has moved her way up with 34. She's had two straight weeks of sevens. That's how you win this competition, right, Kale?
Exactly. I mean, it's not all about getting 10 one week and getting two the next. It's about getting 7, 8. It's like you were 6, 7, which I'm going to do. It's time for me to heat up. This is just about the time of year I started to hit my stride, so I have some ground to make up. Jackpot Jr. is actually ahead of me right now.
Yeah, Jackpot Jr. is picking pretty well. Matt Tomlinson, who is loved by the comrade. Those two get together and scissor. He has he's got number eight one. Correct this week. Yeah, he got 8 correct this week. So big solid move from him.
He's got an awesome popped collar and one of those little Velcro wristbands.
How do you, dude? I'd love to see you in a pop collar with a Velcro wristband. That'd be cool.
Oh man, I'd have to beat the damn females off with a stick if that happened.
Exactly.
So that's why I don't do it.
We had some people get Keith got a one this week, and he'd been pretty steady. You know, 6-6, 5-7. Nah, then he gets a one.
I think I got like three.
Yeah, it was a tough week. I ended up with four, and that's because I made the change when I found out that, and I posted on the Rob and Kale page before kickoff, but when I found out that your one defensive back wasn't going, leaving you down two defensive backs, meaning that you guys were going to have people from the pep band playing in the secondary, I kind of knew that wasn't going to work. We'll get into the South Carolina game in a moment. But jackpot, let's talk about Dennis Wilson, DNC Trucking and Transport. Fireside chats with Uncle Jackpot. Jackpot, read away.
All right. Switch over here. It sucks to be a Gamecock. We are now a program that just hopes it can stay ahead of Vanderbilt. We are a Southern Conference team with SEC funding. Shane Beamer looks like Eddie Munster when we lose, and the transformation looks more and more with every dicking we take. November is coming, and that means that Upstate Jesus is coming to collect his rent on our shithole on Bluff Road. It sucks to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers.
A message courtesy of Dennis Wilson, DNC Trucking and Transport. We appreciate Dennis for sponsoring the show. All right, so Jackpot, let's get into the South Carolina game. And, you know, we'll take calls in a minute, but I got to play this one clip, Jackpot, and it kind of defines the whole thing. Here you go.
There's the toss. They'll throw. It's intercepted. McCullough picked it off. Brooks threw it. And it makes you wonder, is that play call the result of not having faith in your run game?
Who the fuck is Brooks?
Well, that's they blew the call. It was Birch.
For the longest time, yesterday when I live streamed the game, I thought it was Jaheim Bell that threw the thing. I didn't even realize it was Jordan Birch for whatever reason, but yeah, crazy.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah, and to that point,
Birch throwing the ball.
To that point, Jordan Birch's pocket presence is still good. And Beamer said they've been working on it. I mean, you know, if they wanted to try that at like midfield or something on like a second and three or something in that situation, maybe you try it there. Not on goal line. That's just, I don't know. Be honest with you. I mean, you're on a 1 yard line or wherever we were. I mean, Kevin Harris has been your workhorse. That's the guy who needs to be scoring your touchdowns for you if you're in that situation. It's just my opinion, though. Just me.
I mean, you were running the ball, so, and you know,
they were running it. They were running it effectively, and they were building a little bit of momentum. That was a 14 point swing right there because if I'm not mistaken, they scored. So
right. Yeah, that play just didn't look good, but you know, the Tennessee offense kind of it's the first time the Gamecock defense kind of got worn out. Normally they haven't been earth-shatteringly good, but they haven't been that bad, but yesterday Tennessee kind of mopped the floor with them, Jackpot.
They did. Ball State says can Kentucky beat Georgia? Is it in Kroger Field? No, sir. It is in Sanford and Sun Stadium.
By the way, Kentucky did good last night.
Kentucky is going to go to 6-0 for the first time since 1950 when Bear Bryant was coaching the Wildcats. Will Levis drops to a knee again. Kentucky doubles the score on the Bayou Bengals. Kentucky 42, LSU 21.
Yeah.
Embarrassing.
That game, that is embarrassing for LSU. But by the way, I think that's Kentucky's Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know what LSU is? I finally figured it out. And it's taken them a lot less time to become this than the original. LSU is the new Florida State.
I could buy that.
They're on top of the mountain, and now, I mean, look, I mean, and at Florida State, granted, it took, what, at least 6 years there, right? Yeah, six seasons later after they won the national championship in 2013 before they were firing Willie Taggart midway through the season. They had fucking wide receivers lining up facing the wrong direction. You remember that when they played Monroe, and they had to take them to double overtime just to beat and had to rely on a missed extra point by Monroe just to win the damn game. So it only took LSU two seasons to hit rock bottom, and it took them about six. But LSU, the new Florida State,
the Florida State of the SEC. That's a good reference too.
And I'm not. Shitting on Kentucky here by saying that. They played a good game. And quite honestly, I mean, I did pick LSU to cover the spread like an idiot. And they do have talent. And I thought that it would be a close game if they won. I had no earthly idea that Kentucky would be up on them like 35-7 at one point. Wow.
Right. Well, and the big game at the end of the day, of course, was Alabama falling. Jackpot, I've got audio of a caller calling into WJOX down in Alabama, and I want to play this because it was sent to me, and it makes me laugh really, really hard. So bear with me for about 90 seconds of this, because this is really good. Here we go.
Was a big night, and Kip, we have Tom from Lakeview that wants to join us and chime in on this. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. I'm embarrassed to admit that I'm an Alabama fan this morning. It was a disaster last night. It was just a terrible, piss poor performance. I don't think Bryce Young's the answer at quarterback. I really don't. I was hoping when we were down 24-10 that we would give Paul Tice a shot to come in there and trying to save the game. Because Oklahoma put their second string quarterback in yesterday and came back and won. So, I mean, it's maybe time to look at making a change at the quarterback position.
Well, so
I mean,
did Auburn, and look what happened to them.
Yeah, I do wonder, though, Tom, do you feel like Bryce Young was getting the right amount of protection from the offensive line? That was where I was having some questions.
I mean, he threw an interception in the red zone. You can't do that. And if we don't get things fixed, We're looking at a Birmingham Bowl appearance this year. We have gone back to the Mike Shula era. This is the Mike Shula. This program's on Mike Shula, Mike DeBose, and the Francione era right now. I don't see us winning another game this year.
So you're saying Saban's the right guy in charge, or does he need to go too?
He needs to definitely fire Pete Golding. I mean,
that's right, because this is Pete Golding's fault last night. Oh, okay.
Defense played horrible. It's embarrassing. We're going to get embarrassed. Look, we don't get credit. We're going to go to Starkville next week, and Will Rogers will play for 700 yards against our defense. I mean, Mississippi State will embarrass us next week.
Well, you're already embarrassed to be a Bama fan, so I guess those last 10-plus years weren't worth it.
Holy shit.
That's some hard drop there at the end.
You lost one game.
Jesus Christ. I wonder how he acted when they lost to the Gamecocks. Oh, I know. I bet he wasn't a fan then.
You're probably right. Anyway. All right, Jackpot.
Carolina Jackpot, tell me why Rob still has control over calls. He has the phone system there. At his home, sir. I don't.
Because Jackpot could have control over calls, but I do it. So there you go with that. So, and anyone can call. It's just that if you're going to call and yell and act like you have marbles in your mouth, we're not going to put you on the air. Sorry.
Randall says he was surprised he had service in his trailer to make that call.
That's funny. All right, let's get to the phones. Let me put up the number here. And you can call the show now, 803-470-2905, 803-470-2905. That is the number to dial if you'd like to join us this evening. If you want to respond to any of the games, have at it. No one's a coward, sir. So there's that. There's a thing that
I'm not a coward. I don't have control of the funk. It's not here. That's
right. Well, no,
the system is at Rob.
The reality is, yeah, the system's over here with me. And if Jackpot wanted to run it, I'd get send it to him. We could get that set up. So anyway, 803-470-2905. The reality is, this isn't a Georgia jerk-off session. We don't do that here. If you want to sit there and you guys want to pass around pictures of Kirby Smart and have a circle jerk and everybody could be a pivot man, you guys can do that. Just not here. Sorry.
I did a call-in show over the summer when you were you didn't do it that Wednesday or something. You had something to do. Yeah. And I actually did it. Gave out my phone number and did the
call. Oh my God.
With my phone. That's so funny.
All right, let's go out to the phones. And we'll welcome in the caller here. Oh, wait a minute. Come on, phone work. There we go. Well, welcome into the Rob and Kale Show. Good evening.
Yeah, I got a quick question for you, and I'll get out here and listen to your response.
Sure.
Do you think Ed Orgeron will be an assistant coach at Florida State next year? And I'll listen to what y'all have to say about that.
Jackpot, that's yours, brother. Handle that.
Well, I mean, I don't know if he and Mike Norvell are friends, but I'm sure that it's possible. I don't know. He won the national championship 2 years ago. Maybe they give him one more year. I don't know, though. I don't know. I think if he doesn't get fired after that one last night, if he loses another game to, I don't know who else they have on their schedule that they would be expected to beat. I mean, they've already lost to two teams that they were favored over. So I have no clue.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the show. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm the Alabama fan. Y'all played a video clip of my call to the Birmingham station earlier today.
Oh, well, I didn't know that it was yours, but were you real with your thoughts, sir? Because everybody says you were trolling.
No, sir, I was not trolling. I mean, I'm very disappointed in the loss. Our defense is very undisciplined. I mean, that was Texas A&M's. We gave up 41 points to Texas A&M's second string quarterback. This is the same A&M team that only scored a whopping 10 points against Colorado. Mm-hmm. They put up 41 against our defense. That is embarrassing. That's not a good sign going forward. I've been a Alabama fan my whole life, and I was an Alabama fan in 2010 when we lost 35-21. That was not a good day for us. We just came out flat that day, and South Carolina just whipped us. Garcia had a well of a game that day, and it was just one of them days where in South Carolina, you know, in the past and maybe now coming up, but they always seem to have that one game a year where South Carolina decides they're going to play lights out and beat the crap out of somebody they have no business being on the field with. And Alabama just happened to draw them that day.
Oh, hopefully it's coming again soon. Because
wait a minute. The comment section just said, you said you were a South Carolina fan. Are you a South Carolina fan or an Alabama fan?
I'm an Alabama fan. I slipped up because I had the South Carolina game on my mind. I slipped up and said South Carolina when I was supposed to say actually Alabama. So,
okay. Well, I mean, if you're a South Carolina fan and you're calling into WJOX in Alabama to make phone calls, that's some hardcore fandom there, brother.
Yep.
No, I'm an Alabama fan. I'm an Alabama fan. I got a little tongue tied, but I live in Lakeview, Alabama, which is in Tuscaloosa County. I live in a 2-story home. I don't live in no bubble home. My home is valued at $275,000. So, I mean,
come on now. Nobody believes that. Nobody believes that.
I mean, I can send you your email, or I can get your friend Megan, which who probably sent that audio to you because I sent it to him earlier today. So,
oh, you sent it to him. Okay. That's
so he probably got it from Megan. Me and him's good friends.
So,
he's a great dude.
You're gonna send me pictures of your house. We're gonna have like Alabama cribs. You know, like take pictures of your house and everything, and we'll just kind of, you know.
Well, I can tell you this. It would probably take 30 houses in Clemson to equal the value of mine. I mean, I'm
you're probably
saying,
right. But, you're probably right.
But anyway,
30 houses. What?
A great show
in Clemson.
Oh, there's some nice houses in Clemson, though. On the lake.
But yeah, but anyhow, y'all do a great job. Y'all got a great show. Definitely better than that Uncle Lou guy. I mean, that guy is. Some of his videos today talking crap about Bama fans, he's really got me pissed off. And I hope Kentucky can go down to Athens and just skull fuck Georgia this weekend. That would make me very happy. I want to see Uncle Lou cry. I want to see Uncle Lou have a meltdown where they have to put him in an institution for rehabilitation.
Jesus.
That's how bad I want Kentucky to beat Georgia. And he's got me so pissed off, and I never do this, but I may pull for Florida, and I never pull for Florida. But with Florida and Georgia play, I mean, that guy's got me pissed off. I mean, all he does is make YouTube videos all day. I mean, he can't go out and get a real job like a real man does. I mean, Jesus. Go drive a truck, go weld, go get a real job. I mean, you know, another thing that annoys me about him is he makes fun of BYU because of their religious convictions and saying they can't go to the Big 12, don't want them because of their religious stance on certain lifestyles. But do you realize that the Big 12 has got TCU, Texas Christian University, that university shares the same views on stuff as BYU does? And Baylor, a Southern Baptist college, which probably takes the same stance on them kind of things as BYU would. So I don't get why he's against BYU joining the Big 12.
I don't know. You can call his show and ask him. I don't know. I don't know anything about all that.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good evening.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you. 803-470-2905. 803-470-2905. That's the number to call if you want to join us on the show. We can talk about, you agree with where Alabama fell to fifth in the poll. We can talk about the matchup with Kentucky this weekend. That's kind of a big deal. Let's see here. Welcome into the Rob and Kale Show. Good evening.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
Hi, what's up?
Oh, not much. I just had a couple questions for you guys. You know, I'm not calling into troll or anything. Just want to talk football. With what Tennessee's done over the past 2 weeks, is Ole Miss winnable? And another question I had is if Josh Heupel wins more than 7 games this year, which I don't see happening. Like, I'm happy with 6 wins. That's what I predicted for Tennessee this year. If Josh Heupel wins more than 7 games this year, is he a viable candidate for Coach of the Year with what he's had to overcome while being at Tennessee?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a candidate for it, but I think Stoops has probably got the inside track on it right now, depending on how many games they win down the stretch, or Kirby.
Right.
But, I mean, he's definitely been running, and I think that Ole Miss game, yeah, I mean, I think it's winnable for Tennessee. What, they're a 3-point underdog? No,
the FBI gives us the favorite, though. If you look at ESPN right now, the FBI is giving Tennessee the favorite on that. Tennessee has a higher percentage to win that game. If I read it correctly, and that's what I saw today, is the FBI is reading Tennessee winning that game, which obviously the point spread is a little bit different. But I know nothing really matters until the kickoff happens. But
right. Now, I mean, we'll see. I mean, your defense, I mean, I don't know how they're going to hold up to the Beach Bum. I mean, because he's got a hell of a cannon on him and pretty damn accurate. So, I mean, I could see this being like a game like they played against Arkansas yesterday. I mean, I could see this being a real shootout.
Mm-hmm. So, now, I'm honestly – like, as far as over the past couple of weeks, I've been very surprised with Tennessee's defense. I thought they'd been – no, I'm not saying they've been great or good at all, but I'm saying they've been better than I thought they were going to be.
Yeah. Sure, you could right? be – I mean, but
– depth of linebacker.
Ole Miss could, I mean, Ole Miss could end up pulling away with it, though. I mean, it could be like a 50-something, 30-something game. It could be kind of like that Ole Miss-South Carolina game last year where we hung with them blow for blow through like three quarters, and then the fourth quarter we just didn't have the depth to keep up with them. That's the concern I would have if I was a Vol fan, because you still don't have a lot of depth there. I mean, yesterday it didn't matter because you were ahead 28-0 before everybody got sat down in their seat good. But in the second half, Tennessee.
Hey, and I'll say just about
took their foot off the gas. Well, it's not so much they took the foot off the gas; it's that they didn't want anybody getting hurt, so they just kind of played a conservative.
Yeah, well, South Carolina made some good adjustments as well. I mean, I'll say that, like, they brought more heat. And even though they were down, one thing I'll say about Shane Beamer's team is they're not quitting. They didn't quit.
No, that's true. That's the problem
with South Carolina, because you're down fast like that, but you didn't quit. You played a hard football game the entire time, and props South Carolina for that, for sure.
Thank you. Yeah, if they hadn't given up that last touchdown, I mean, who knows? I mean, South Carolina, if they just
scored a call, touchdown, that, right?
They would have been in it.
Yeah, just got away from them. And South Carolina's offense, if they get behind, it's just not – they don't have the offense to come back. Even when the offense is flowing correctly, it's not the kind of offense you can get behind by, 14 points and expect to rally, I don't feel that way anyway. All right, let's go back out to the phones. Welcome into the Rob and Kale Show. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. So my two cents on the South Carolina game was awful. I did not expect South Carolina to go into Neyland and already be down 31-7 at halftime. And I'm kind of with Carolina Jackpot, because I was watching his live stream while watching the game, and I do believe we will beat Vanderbilt and then lose the rest of the season.
Yep.
Like, and there's no doubt about it. And this has to take time. This has to take a process with this program, because, like Carolina Jackpot said, Will Muschamp left this program a couple years back, and I totally see it, because we have just – I wasn't expecting the offense to be that bad, but for the defense to be ranked that high in, like, FBS and, like, turnovers. And the crazy thing was they sacked the quarterback, like, six times. So it was really baffling. And then – that trick play where the punter throws the ball to the one, like, that was cool. I like to see special teams make a play, but only like 10 points was scored on special teams for South Carolina. Like, we can't do that. So it's a long season for this program and a long next year. So Carolina Jackpot, I agree with you.
Well, thank you. I'm glad somebody does. Side note, Kai Kroger throws a much better deep ball than Luke Doty.
803-470-2905. 803-470-2905. If you want to call into the program, where you can talk about the matchup with Kentucky and Georgia this week. That's the 3:30 matchup on Saturday. Kentucky's a 24.5 point underdog, Jackpot, to open up. That's a lot of points.
I'm telling you, I think that game is going to be more competitive than you think. I really do. I mean, it's 2021. They're not going to run through all 12 games and just steamroll everybody. I'm telling you, they're not. And I'm not saying Georgia's going to lay a turd. I just think that this one may give them a run for their money. Kentucky, they have a good team, and I'm just telling you, man. Could be ugly.
All right, and welcome into the Rob and Kale Show. Good evening.
How's it going, y'all? Bluegrass Sports Media.
Yay.
What's going on, buddy?
We're 6-0, I guess you didn't know. We beat the absolute dog show at LSU last night. You have no offense. Score 42 points. It's kind of hard to have no offense and score 42 points.
Really?
Yeah, I mean,
that was the
42 points yet this season.
That was the biggest offensive.
Respectfully, sir. Hold on, Jackpot. Respectfully, sir. If you want to talk about Clemson, we can. But I thought you were talking about your team, which, yes, you did score 42 points. And I guess if that's like a benchmark for you guys, then good for you. But the reality is that of those 42 points, yes, you did have, 145 yards passing. So what does that say to anyone? You really still can't throw the ball.
I'm sorry. Can you win games by passing yards, or do they count the score? Does the score matter, or does passing yards matter?
Well, you were just talking about the fact that you have – were you trying to say, hey, you have a good offense or what? Because, I mean, 145 yards passing isn't really that good.
I'm sorry. Is 42 points good, though?
42 points can be good. Sure.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not shitting on your team, but if you're going to call up here and say, hey, we've got a great offense – if you think a great offense is throwing for 145 yards, then that's on you, sir. I don't agree with you.
I think a good offense is scoring 42 points and blowing the LSU out by 21.
Sure.
I mean,
well, that's fine.
What do you think about Georgia? What do you think about this game?
I think Stetson Bennett's going to hand it to us.
Really?
I think we have the second best defense in the SEC behind Georgia. And I think Stetson Bennett's going to throw two picks, and we're going to win 10-7.
Oh, Jesus Christ! you think that defense is holding them to 7 points? You don't believe that?
Okay, here's the thing: you put 8 in the box, and he can't beat you throwing the football. Unless JT Daniels comes back, Stetson Bennett can't beat us throwing the football.
Stetson Bennett looked pretty good at Auburn yesterday. I know that Georgia fans don't want to hear that shit, but he's looked pretty good all season when you know you're the second coming of Christ hasn't been able to make the game, so
yeah.
Maybe they should rally around him a little bit. I mean, he's doing pretty good, I think. I don't know.
He's a taffy.
He's going to be the starter the rest of the year.
Captain G, thank you for the super chat.
Yeah, we appreciate that. I mean, thank
you for the super chat.
Can you be an honest fan and say that's what you really see is a 10-3 score with Stetson Bennett throwing two interceptions?
I can be honest and say that's the way we win.
Okay.
I'm not going to say I think we lose because I just can't do that. But that's the way – if we win the football game,
You should be able to do it. I mean, Kentucky's been a shithole for decades. You should be okay to be – for about losing in football. I mean, basketball, we can have a different conversation, but the football team's not anything to really write home about.
I mean, we're in top 10 this year, but no big deal, but –
but you're top 10 through week 6. Hold on, you're top 10 through week 6. Let's talk about when you're top 10 in week 12, because that's when it matters. And by the way, Stetson Bennett threw for 231 yards yesterday against Auburn on the road. That's a little bit better than the 145 y'all put up against a second string secondary for LSU.
Auburn's defense is as good as Kentucky's.
What does that have to do with – okay, oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you were talking about the offense for Kentucky. My apologies. But the point is that at quarterback, you have to give Bennett the nod here over what he's done so far, because Levis hasn't done anything that's really outstanding.
Yeah.
He scored like 5 touchdowns against LSU last night.
He scored himself?
He threw for like 3, and I think he rushed for a few.
I don't think so, buddy.
Did you watch the game?
I watched some of the game. I didn't watch all of it.
All right, Rob, I want to get in a super chat here and
yeah,
address something else here.
All right. Well, hey, I appreciate you calling the show, man. Make sure you call back on Wednesday, all right?
I'll be here Wednesday and next Monday.
Walter, thank you for the super chat. It says, can Doty not see the field or wide receivers can't get open? I think his field vision's not that great. He's got like this herky jerky throwing motion, Rob. Have you noticed that? It's really weird.
Are you talking about Doty?
Yeah.
I wonder if he's completely healthy. Like if his foot's completely healed, because there's been rumors that he broke his foot at the beginning of the season. Some of the rumors I've heard out there. I don't know.
I don't know if he's completely healthy. Nick Devon says, please help me, guys. I'm so close. We don't have a lot of these come in, but so that's why I wanted to read it. Giving up on Matt Brown 2.0. It's like a continuation of his latter Texas years. Yeah, that's got to be the most – is that like the most disappointing team this year? It's got to be.
Yeah, I mean –
Based on preseason expectations, really, really bad. Their defense is really bad. Housed at home yesterday by Florida State. And I picked that game. I have that one on my parlay card, Florida State to cover on the money line. Of course, the other two games on my parlay card didn't work with me, so it really didn't matter. But I kind of nailed that one. I just saw it coming a mile away. Their defense is bad, and Sam Howell has not been what we thought he was going to be. Lost a lot of talent around him, running back wise and wide receiver, and that's just. How's Ty Chandler doing in North Carolina anyway? Is he done shit?
I'd have to look at the stats for Ty Chandler, but the crazy thing about. The crazy thing about the Coastal is that it is so awful that Virginia Tech has two losses, right? The two losses are to West Virginia and Notre Dame, which are not conference losses, and they currently lead the division. They may end up going to Charlotte with, you know, an 8-4 record and still
beat North Carolina and in the conference. I beat North Carolina, right? And who
North
else?
Carolina. I can't remember who the other game was, but I got to look that up. But Chandler had 14 carries yesterday for 61 yards and a touchdown. So not bad, but not anything that's crazy outstanding either. Virginia Tech, by the way, if you look at their games, they won over, let's see here. Actually, they don't have a conference win yet. They beat Richmond, Middle Tennessee State, actually in North Carolina. That's their one conference win. Yeah.
They beat Middle and they beat Richmond, and they've had an off week too. Scott Price says, jackpot, do you think Lloyd hits the transfer portal this offseason? One of them is, I'm pretty sure, Juju McDowell, number 21, has turned out to be the best running back on the team. Who would have thought that?
Zachondre White was you know, played really well against Eastern Illinois, but yeah. when they run out of the spread, he does really, really well. But they get basically the same thing out of the spread when they run with Juju McDowell. So
he really hasn't been featured a lot though.
Yeah, and I don't know how that's going to work out, but
McDowell's going to take a kickoff return to the house at some point this year too. Might be tomorrow. Not tomorrow. Might be Saturday. Who knows?
Might be Saturday.
Good team to do it against.
803-470-2905. You want to get involved with the program? We'll take calls for a couple more minutes here before we get out of here. Herbert says, don't bet the over with Georgia against Kentucky. Okay. Welcome into the show. Good evening.
Hey, guys. This is The Biscuit.
What's up, Biscuit?
Hey, Biscuit.
These Kentucky fans calling in are cracking me up, man. I mean, how many teams do you know of that are one-dimensional offensively and go into Athens and run all over Georgia?
I can't think of very many, but...
the problem is not that Kentucky isn't a good football team. They are. This matchup is terrible for them. the formula for beating Georgia is not sending in a quarterback that passes for 140 yards a game. You're not going to beat Georgia if you don't have a dynamic quarterback, just like you weren't able to, you know, you can't beat Alabama like that. But this spread, I mean, even Vegas thinks Georgia's going to blow them out. This spread is accurate. And I'm not saying that because I'm a Georgia fan. Georgia's going to win this game 34-6.
Right. I don't think Las Vegas gives a shit about either team. It's just about what they think they're going to, you know, get it where people can actually bet money. And if they think that Georgia's that many points better, then have at it. I mean,
correct.
And they've been wrong on some games. Texas A&M was a 17.5-point underdog last night, but Texas A&M also had the ability to run and throw the ball, which you kind of need both if you're going to go and upset somebody.
Well, right, and Texas A&M also has a boatload of talent. Their whole problem was that they had a quarterback in there that had happy feet and was nervous, and they weren't getting any production out of that position. Suddenly, that kid turned it on last night, and I'm not excusing Alabama from their performance, obviously. Giving up 41 points is disappointing, but anyone who watches football could see that that kid was different last night. He was standing in the pocket, taking hits, and delivering the ball.
Yeah, looked like Joe Montana. I mean, and look like shit the rest of the year.
I was stunned because I even saw like Calzada before the game started. I was watching, he looked like he was nervous. And so I was thinking, oh my God, this is good. I picked that game to be 41-10 Bama. Boy, was I wrong.
I think a lot of people were wrong.
We were all wrong.
Our contest, I think people, I think it was like at 90% or something, or 90% of the people in the contest picked Alabama to cover. So. Kind of a shocking game yesterday.
Bluegrass. How many yards do you think they can actually rush for this weekend? Because to win this game or even compete in it, they're going to need to rush for at least 200 yards, wouldn't you say?
Well, I mean, they haven't had a game this year where they haven't eclipsed the 200 yard mark. Now, granted, they haven't played a defense the caliber of Georgia. They ran for 330 yards yesterday, but to think that you're just going to go in and run over anyone like that is just kind of, I mean, it's just kind of far-fetched. I mean, they're going to need a big, like, the way that they can beat Georgia is if their quarterback has the same kind of awakening that the Texas A&M quarterback had, and I don't know, drinks a gallon of calming serum and walks out there and he's able to throw some really good passes, and they're able to, you know, balance it out and have 250 on the ground, 250 through the air, and no turnovers. That'll make it a lot more of an interesting matchup. But if they run out there with the same, you know, let's give Rodriguez 30 carries and hope that we can keep the game close, they're going to get blown the hell out.
The only way they're going to win that game is if they're able to run the football consistently. There's no way. He's not going to be able to stand, but he's not going to have time to pass.
What if Bennett throws three picks? That could be another way they could win. Bennett throws three picks.
Any situation where you get the opposing quarterback, he goes in there and throws four picks, and they return a kickoff or a touchdown and block a punt, and that changes things. That's how.
Right. I mean, I'm just trying. I thought we were talking about ways that they could win. I thought that would be the way that they could do it. Is that way? So.
Sure, but yeah. Anyway, I'll let you guys get back to your other calls, but yeah,
appreciate it, man.
I'm looking forward to this week. What's that?
I appreciate you calling, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right. 803-470-2905. And there's another caller. Welcome into the program. Good evening.
Hi, how's it going, Rob?
Hi.
Well, I just want to hold on a second. I just want to talk about the Georgia-Kentucky game. These idiot Kentucky fans for a second. Listen, do you really think you're running the ball on Georgia and winning? Do you think you can stack the box of eight people and cover Darnell Washington, Brock Bowers, Jermaine Burton, all the other guys one-on-one?
Lad McConkey.
Still there?
I don't – yeah, we're listening, man. Go ahead. We were waiting for you to finish. I'm sorry.
Well, I was waiting for you to say something about what I said.
Oh, well, I don't think that – I mean, it's the same thing that with the other caller. I think if Kentucky goes in and just tries to run the ball and control the game, they're going to lose.
Okay, so, well, that's what I
was thinking. I mean, Georgia's defense is too good for them to – I mean, I think Kentucky's going to give them a game for a while, but eventually they're going to crumble. I like to say they're going to cover that spread, though, but I don't know. I'll have to think about that one before I bet it.
And if they try to pass the ball, they're going to get sacked or D linemen, because that's all we need. We can pass those 40 linemen, sack them, play pass. Well, I don't know if Kentucky will get the double digits in this game. The only reason why Auburn got the double digit is because Bo Nix is able to circle around and run away from our defensive linemen. Will Levis can't do that. So,
he's not a mobile quarterback at all. He's a load, though, to bring down. He does have that going for him. He's a big individual, but he's not a mobile guy.
All right, caller, I appreciate you calling, man. Thanks for calling the show.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
803-470-2905. I'm going to
read the super chat there.
Well, as a Tennessee fan, I hope Eric Gray is watching this offense while he's only touching the ball six times a game at Oklahoma. Okay.
I haven't heard of him doing anything at Oklahoma. I didn't even know he was even playing. So there you go.
Welcome to the Rob and Kale Show. Good evening.
Yeah, Will Levis is a big guy. How big is KJ Jefferson?
I don't know. How big is he? He's like 6'6", right?
Way bigger than Will Levis, and a way higher completion percentage, more yards per game, passing and throwing. But Will Levis is a big guy, though. Great take, Jackpot, and I love you, buddy. Rob, who's the best team there?
Georgia.
And who's and name 25 coaches better than Kirby Smart.
Why are we still doing this, man? I just don't like Kirby Smart.
Because you're
an idiot. I just don't like Kirby Smart. I can admit when I'm wrong. I just don't like Kirby Smart.
There's a lot of people I don't like, Rob.
Sure.
Okay, I don't like Nick. I don't like Nick Saban, but I admit he's the greatest coach in football.
Right.
Why can't you just admit that Kirby Smart is one of the best 25 coaches?
He is one of the best 25 coaches, but he's not one of the 25 coaches I would hire.
Thank you. Have a good day. Thank you.
Okay. Are you done? I've said that before. Is that all that he needed? I mean, Georgia fans are like the girlfriend that needs to be reassured every day that they're just beautiful. That's pretty much what that boils down to with Georgia fans. Welcome into the Rob and Kale Show. Good evening.
Hey, Rob. This is Billy Cole, Tennessee fan, calling in.
What's up, buddy? How are you? Hold on. The Tennessee fan, you get the Tennessee fight song. What do you have for the show, sir?
Well, I wanted to answer the Bluegrass Sports Media guy that called in there. I posted this every time in your comments. How do they think they're going to beat Georgia when they beat Missouri by 7, Chattanooga by 5, and U.S. South Carolina by 6? I don't see it. And the line is correct. Georgia, and I'm not a Georgia fan. They'll beat them by 30-plus points.
I don't know where the Kentucky fans are with that. I really don't. So,
yeah, I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, you know, the old saying is you can bet with your heart or you can bet with your wallet. So.
Well, I mean, what's his name said that, he thought they were going to win 10-3 or 10-7 or something. I don't know. I don't foresee that though. I think that Georgia's running game will eventually wear them down, and they'll run away with the game probably in the third quarter. They'll get up by 2 or 3 touchdowns and coast to a win there. So, but I don't see the Kentucky offense doing much with them. So,
I guess the million-dollar question for your college show is who's going to beat Georgia? Who's beating them?
Well, that's the thing. There. Yeah, sure. My thing with that is that everything is lined up for Georgia. You've got the best team. Got the best players. I mean, your roster's awesome from top to bottom. Alabama looks like they're not as invincible as they look like they're not as great as they normally are. So
I saw it firsthand yesterday. I think Tennessee's the one that stands a better chance of coming out early and punching Georgia in the mouth. We're talking about offensively and quarterback play, but I mean, I don't expect it to stand up, but yeah.
Welcome into the Rob and Kale Show. Good evening.
Hey, Rob and Kale, it's Colby from Augusta. How y'all doing tonight?
Colby, good. What's up?
Pretty good, pretty good. So, Rob, I want to ask you, top 25
right
restaurants in your opinion.
Restaurants?
No, I'm just kidding.
No, you're good, man. What else you got for the show?
I know everyone's trolling you.
It doesn't really bother me. I mean, I think that they just don't understand what I'm saying. He is a top 25 coach, but he's not in my top 25 of guys that I would want. Does that make sense? I don't understand. I mean, it's like I have to talk really slow for the leg humpers. I really do. No,
there's a lot of dumb Georgia people around here, but I understand what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But anyway, I want to get your opinion on targeting calls. I'll take your questions off air. I feel like there was a lot of targeting calls that they're just indecisive at the time. So I appreciate the show. Love you guys. Have a good one.
Yeah, the targeting is a big issue. So.
Bluegrass Sports Media, thank you for the super chat. He says, you guys are welcome for all the calls. Go Cats. That's kind of like Arn Anderson ended up the interview. It's been your pleasure.
It's been your pleasure. That's funny.
Scott Price says, $1.99 all you got. That'll buy you a two-story house in Kentucky.
Two-story house in Kentucky. Okay.
As opposed to the $275,000 in Alabama.
Welcome into the show. Good evening.
Hey, well, how you doing? It's me, Justin.
Hi, Justin.
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Not much. Hey, well, I got this Carolina jackpot for something like that.
Okay.
Hey, Carolina jackpot, do you think Sarkis go after, do you think they're going to go after Spencer Rattler as a quarterback in next season?
Well, that would certainly be interesting if he were to hit the transfer portal. I mean, I would certainly – I could see Beamer going after him. I'm sure they have a relationship. That would definitely change the dynamic of the offense for sure. But I don't know. I'd like to see some decent play calling first before we put the cart in front of the horse. But I don't know.
Thank you, Justin. Appreciate it, buddy. All right. 803-470-2905, 803-470-2905, if you want to join us on the program this evening. By the way, the games for next week, we've already got them up on the website for those that are in the contest. I've already posted those up there.
Blake Robinson says, did you know Temple's head coach refuses to use the transfer portal? Really? I guess maybe that's why his team blows oats. Dabo refuses to use it too.
Yep. Auburn's at Arkansas. That's Arkansas is a 3-point favorite in that game. That's one of our picks. We'll have that for you on Wednesday, along with Kentucky at Georgia. Georgia's a 24.5-point favorite. Oklahoma State at Texas. Texas is a 5-point favorite. Florida and LSU. LSU is a 3.5-point underdog at home.
How much?
It shows 3.5 points at home. They are a 3.5-point underdog at home, jackpot.
To Florida?
To Florida at home.
I thought it was like 10.
Nope, it started out at 3.5. I'll check and make sure, but I think that's what I read.
I think that one's wrong. I'm not trying to be a jackass.
No, hold on. Let me make sure. I'll give it to you. I'll check it out right now, but I'm pretty sure that's what I read earlier. Let me make sure here, because if not, I got to fix it. But let's see here.
You better jump all over that. Florida's going to abuse them.
Make sure I'm looking at the Vegas Insider site right now. Yeah, it started at 3.5, jackpot, and it's up to 10. But it started at 3.5.
Wow. That's some line movement there.
Then you've got Ole Miss at Tennessee. Tennessee is getting 4 points at home. Michigan State at Indiana. Indiana is getting 3 at home. To the undefeated Spartans, by the way. Pitt at Virginia Tech, 1.5-point spread there. NC State at Boston College. Boston College gets 2 points at home. Wisconsin is giving up 10 to Army. The Cale Hall special, every time I see one of these, it cracks my head. Ball State in Eastern Michigan. Eastern Michigan is getting 3 at home. For Ball State, yeah. Vanderbilt at South Carolina. South Carolina is a 16-point favorite at home to the Commodores. That line's already moved up to 20, jackpot. We did not bump the game in the mix.
How? How is it 20? We can't even hardly fucking score 20. What? I don't
Well, I mean, we were just talking about maybe Vegas knows something. I don't know. I do know that Vanderbilt's not very good. They're not very good at all.
Normally blows them out. I mean, and it's not even competitive. So, I mean, maybe they do. I mean, last year I thought, you know, it was going to be a tighter game than it was. We won like, 49-7 or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
We just usually have their number, but Tom Bailey says, be careful.
12 straight against them, Tim.
Versus Florida, weird stuff happens in that rivalry. This is true. Shoes get thrown around a lot.
3.5 points.
Captain G's a dog fan, says Tennessee worries me much more than Kentucky. Away game, they have an explosive offense, and their fans are really chiefing it up on the hook. Whatever. I can't read that. Tough environment. Yeah, he's got a point. He's got a point.
Anyway, those are the spreads we're looking at.
Game.
I don't know. I don't know about all that. I was shocked. I was shocked at that too. 3.5 points. That's interesting for the LSU game. DK had a pistol on him 6 months ago, and he starts at Georgia. They're shady down there. In fairness, he fell asleep in front of his girlfriend's house, and the gun fell in his lap. Not that I'm defending the kid, but that's. Who hasn't had a gun in front of their girlfriend's house at 4 o'clock in the morning?
Who hasn't had a gun fall in their lap when they were asleep? I mean, shit. It happens to most of us at some point.
I just said that, and my wife is sitting over here, and she shot me the dirtiest of looks.
Like, I'm sure that's pretty common around that house.
That's not nice. I don't sit in the yard with a gun. Come on now, Jackpot. That's not nice. Oh, goodness.
Eric Twine says, well, South Carolina will definitely beat Vandy and Mizzou. Vandy, yeah, probably so. Mizzou, I don't know.
You gotta go on the road to Mizzou, so.
Yeah, South
Carolina. By the time the game kicks off on Saturday, it will be a calendar year since South Carolina has won an SEC game. Just throwing that out there.
Wow.
Last SEC win was against Auburn last season.
Yeah.
So there's that. Mr. Boogie says it happens to the best of us. Tadeel says I plead the fifth.
Josh Pinion says Jackpot Will Muschamp has a better record than Beamer. I believe it. Hey, you know, he won the most games his first 3 years at South Carolina of anybody. In case you never heard it before, he let us know that every press conference, too.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. As a fan of South Carolina,
you could book on every fucking press conference, starting out with that same old tired-ass diatribe. Everyone.
Well, that, and, you know, it's tough right now at South Carolina, but do you want, would you want Will Muschamp or would you want Shane Beamer? And it's not even close.
Oh, yeah, God, no.
Not even close.
Yeah, not even close.
All right, well.
I'm not ready to utter those four words yet, you know, about Shane Beamer. I'm still solid behind him. I don't know about changing offensive coordinators 1 year after you brought one in. We'll see. That offensive line coach, I don't know what the fuck's going on with that damn group. It makes
respectfully, and not any goofing or trolling here, Jackpot, but how long do you think they need to give Shane Beamer? Because there were some Gamecock fans yesterday in the world of social media that were like, man, you know, fuck this guy. But
I know. Here's the drill. Over the summer, everybody knew it was going to be a tough season. They knew it was going to be a tough season. We knew we had serious deficiencies at the wide receiver position, serious deficiencies in the defensive backfield. And they came to fruit yesterday. I think the deficiencies in the defensive backfield have been masked so far this year just from some of the competition that we played. I mean, yesterday, Hendon Hoe, everything that he threw, I mean, looked like gold. And that's because every one of those wide receivers, every one of them was beat by 5 yards. It was hard to watch. Now, to that point, we were missing Cam Smith, best lockdown corner on the team. But honestly, the yardage that he would have saved us in, you know, pass defense, we actually gained because he wasn't on the field committing personal foul penalties. He's always good for two or three of those a game.
He is, but also R.J. Roderick wasn't playing too. So you had two guys in the back of your secondary that were not playing. And I'm not making excuses, but if you lose two of your starters and you're putting two guys out there who haven't started before on the road in the SEC against an offense that you haven't seen that runs with tempo, it's going to be an issue. It really is. So
they sacked Hendon Ho five times and should have had him sacked another time. There are four guys had their hands on him, missed fucking tackles. So there's that.
Yep.
Lee Wilder says Satterfield felt like a last-minute hire. I can buy that. I really can. I mean, it's kind of like, who? You know, it just kind of came out of nowhere. So Shane Beamer wouldn't tell you that, but.
No. Well, but you got to remember what Shane Beamer was dealing with. He thought that Mike Bobo was going to be his offensive coordinator, and Bobo decided in the middle of the night, "Hey, I'm going to Auburn." So he, you know, it was at a time when a lot of coaches had already been moved, and they were trying to fix themselves into different spots already. So he had to make a hire. So there may be some validity to that.
This is true.
Jerome says they the Gamecocks own the second half. Yeah, but I think Tennessee took the foot off the gas a little bit. Hufferbilly Paul. I'm sorry, I was reading the super chat, Jackpot. Syracuse beats Clemson. If so, I'll get my gun out in the front yard too.
Cardinal Tom said, Jackpot, why is South Carolina offense better than Clemson? I don't know. Clemson's been struggling bad. But have you noticed that they are favored by 14 points against Syracuse once again? Why do they keep giving them these damn spreads? I don't get that. I think Syracuse is going to come into that game pissed off. You said at the end of that game yesterday, they should have beaten Wake Forest. Does Dino Babers get the troops rallied around that? They get some energy. They feed off that. And go out there and give Clemson a game, possibly pull an upset, or do they just go into a shell and get housed at home? Weird stuff happens in the dome anyway.
Well, it's a basketball arena dressed up as a football field, so Clemson's lost up there too. So I mean, it's not like this isn't some, you know, earth-shattering thing. I mean, I think Clemson's won like 11 straight games over Wake Forest, but I say that in that Syracuse has been more competitive with Clemson than Wake Forest has.
Yeah, Wake Forest is to Clemson like Vanderbilt is to Gamecocks.
Yeah. Well, except for Wake Forest, I think, is a more competitive program than Vanderbilt. But
yeah, Vanderbilt was good back. They were competitive. Vanderbilt was competitive back around the time when South Carolina was pulling off those 11 win seasons. With James Franklin was there. They were pretty good.
Yep. All right. Well, as I said, Jackpot, we'll be back at it on Wednesday, and we'll have our full picks against the spread. All the picks are up on the Rob and Kale Show website. If you are in the contest, so you are free to go over there and pick away. Yep, that's pretty much it. Allen says he needs Clemson to finish strong. UGA needs a bump in the schedule. Okay. Bluegrass Sports Media says Tennessee football is a shot hole and a dead program. Okay.
Okay.
I don't even know where to go with that. I mean, wow.
I have something for you. Anyway.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. We'll see you later on.